This week on the Mandatory Samson Podcast, we're talking about ISIS propaganda machine, a little bit of Donald Trump's nonsense, some San Bernardino updates, and a whole lot more. Joe, you excited about it?
Yes, I am.
Stay tuned.
You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
Is the Mandatory Samson Podcast coming to you live from where, Joey?
Stand Up New York
Labs in the heart of New York City. Hi, everyone. My name is Chris Flannery. I'm joined, as always, by Joseph Anthony Noe the 16th.
The third.
The third. We're also being produced by the sweetest, gentlest producer in all the land, Shelby. great. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the program. We have some updates, some developments, some interesting stuff about the ISIS propaganda machine, which I was talking about last week.
Yes.
Very interesting stuff. A 2016 update, including a little bit about Donald Trump and his shenanigans over the last week.
Yeah, he's been quite busy.
Yeah, it's not... We'll get into it. It's not even like amusing anymore. The guy's just an animal, but we'll get into it a little bit later on in the show. And if we have time, I got a great clip from Jon Stewart's Daily Show return and maybe a little bit of a UFC 194 preview, Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo. I doubt we're going to have time. I'll be honest with the Samsonites. Started a little late today. The studio is packed. People are recording all day. So this might have to be just like a tight hour and we have to get out, but we'll see what happens. We'll see how much we get through. All right.
Yep.
First, Joey, I wanted to say this. Happy belated birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
Your birthday was on Monday. You turned 30 years old. How's it feel?
Feels fantastic.
That's all you got to say? That's great.
Yeah, it's just a number, my friend. It's just a number.
All right. I like your attitude. I got a couple of shout-outs and emails. You want to do this?
Yes.
Shout-outs to Michael. He emailed. He said he's a fan of the show. He wanted some stickers. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate it. Your stickers will be in the mail within a week, I told everybody.
Okay.
You know, I'm a little slow to get that stuff out there, but I'll do it. I promise you'll be getting the stickers. Shout-out to Mikkel. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It's Norwegian. I'm a dumb American. I don't know. It is what it is, but I got your email. I appreciate it. Sending you stickers. And shout-out to Jason. Got another email from him. He wanted stickers. They're on their way. I also want to shout out to Natty Bo on Snapchat. He sent me a snap today. He was watching listening to the Mandatory Samson Podcast with his mom in the car.
Wow, with his mom. Nice.
Yeah, and he said she's becoming a Samsonite, which is great. We appreciate that. Spread the word, spread the love, and, you know, let your loved ones enjoy us over the holidays.
Nice.
Got some emails. You ready to do this?
Yep.
We'll get to the emails, then we'll get into this stuff. This ISIS stuff I have is very... interesting.
Yes.
It's really good. And it also, because little Joe Harari, God bless him, when I was talking to him today, he can't be here because he works at another place, but, you know, It doesn't matter. But he was like, did you see the new ISIS video today? It's scary, blah, blah.
Another one came out today?
Yeah, they're putting out a lot of videos, but the reason why they're putting out the videos is because they have a whole media division that's in charge of propaganda and stuff that we're going to get into in a little while. It's exciting stuff.
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ, Joey. All right. We got an email from Ian. He says, hey, Chris and Joey, I wanted to write in as I'm currently listening to this week's episode, which was last week, which was called Bullets for Everyone, and wanted to comment on an email that one of my fellow Samsonites sent in about using the term radical Islamic terrorism. I thought the discussion you guys had about it was great. Well, thank you. Of course.
Yes.
I've also seen Bill Maher talk about this term, and I like the way he frames his argument for using the term by saying that though not all Muslim people are terrorists, their misconstrued depiction of their religion is what fuels their actions. Yeah, it's part of the equation, definitely.
Yes.
It's silly to take the religion out of it if that's, you know, we've gotten into it. While I agree with Ali's email, and that's who he's talking about, the fellow Samsonite, that we need to be more careful using this term, I think the religious background of these terrorist attacks is something we need to keep in mind. To be brutally honest, if we're going to call the terrorist attacks in Paris radical Islamic terrorism, I feel that we also have to call the recent Planned Parenthood attacks radical Christian terrorism. Terrorism fueled by religion should be treated the same across the board, no matter the religion. I'd love to hear more about what you guys think about this. Well, great email, yeah. And I think I do think that we got into that a little bit last week. I agree with you. I think that the guy that is attacking the Planned Parenthood because he doesn't want to see any more baby parts, and he's, you know, I mean, obviously that's a fundamental Christian kind of attitude. Yeah, he's a Christian terrorist. Absolutely.
Yes. However, the term is not going to be used because several news sources, that doesn't fit into the narrative.
Sure. And Fox News, is that what you're talking about? What's interesting is that they, on Fox, will say that there's a war on Christianity and there's a war on Christmas and all this stuff. But interestingly, why wouldn't they call it? You know, I'm agreeing with your point. There's going to be a ton of organizations that are not going to call it Christian terrorism. Why? Because if there was really a war on Christianity, they'd be all over it. And people would be jumping down their throat to call it that. But they're not.
And also with that term, politicians are not going to use that term either.
No, but they will.
Especially if they like to tout that they're Christians.
Certainly Republican politicians are not going to use that phrase. I highly doubt that most Democrats are going to use that. Of course, they're not going to either, because they, you know, they tend to be more respectful of religion generally, even though I feel like people who are liberal are probably less likely to be religious, which is kind of doesn't make any sense. But again, the question is not should we call it that? Like, it is definitely that. That's not really the argument. The argument is, does it make a difference? And that was sort of Allie's point in her email last week. Why bother even saying radical Islamic terrorism, radical Christian terrorism? You could say a KKK member, an ISIS member, a whatever, anti-abortion crusader, sympathizer, whatever it is, you know? So that's sort of the argument, but I don't have a problem calling anything what it is, you know? Yes. Again, we got into it last week. You got to try to separate, and that's what he said, like, you have to be able to separate all Muslims from terrorists. You have to also be able to separate all Christians from guys that are going to go into a Planned Parenthood and shoot people.
Yes.
So anyway, he also says, on a totally separate note, I heard Chris mention that the Xbox One on this week's show. I'm thinking about getting one. How do you feel about it? I'm torn between getting that or the PS4. Thanks, Ian. I answered him. I gave him like a longer point of view on that. It depends on what games you're playing, honestly. I like to play NHL games and Halo, so that's why Xbox works for me. It's really good. What do you think, Joey?
I was gonna say hands down PlayStation 4.
See, yeah,
and everyone's waiting for that game, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Sure. I don't even know what you're talking about. All right, so anyway,
they do, trust me, they
everybody knows what's going on. Okay. Ian, thank you for the email, we appreciate it. Let us know what game system you end up getting. We got an email from Tanner. Hey Chris and Joey, I finally got around to sending you guys my couple questions about minimum wage. Oh, very good. This is something, he goes, I know that this topic was discussed a few weeks back, but I figured other people might have had the same question. And I think probably that's reasonable. I'll read his question. We'll hit it quick because we have talked about it, but it's a fair question. If minimum wage is raised to, let's say, $15 or even $12, wouldn't that have really bad consequences on businesses that pay their employees over minimum wage? I live in Washington State and work for a decent-sized bread company. I wonder which bread company that is. You get it, Joey?
Yeah, I got it.
I don't know what it is.
I don't think it is.
Okay. What do you think it is?
Oh, I don't know bread companies.
Okay. that has grown into a few nearby states and is pretty successful. I get paid $14.50 an hour as a full-time employee. If the minimum wage was boosted all the way to $15, then what would keep me from working an easy job like bussing tables? First of all, okay, whatever. I mean, whether it's an easy job or not, fine. I don't, to that point, I don't necessarily think that people are, sure, a percentage of people might do that. I don't think that's going to be like a rampant thing. I don't think people are just going to quit their job because they're like, fuck, I could work a lot easier and make like 60 more cents, a dollar more.
Doing
Yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if that type of jump. Now, maybe if you're making $7 an hour doing something, you know, or $8-$9 at one job, and then it gets raised to 15. Yeah, maybe you do switch. I don't know, but that's not really something I can speak to. But it's a possibility. I don't necessarily know how much that would actually factor in. The company would then have to raise their wages to keep the employees from leaving for easier work. I don't know. I can't even imagine smaller private-owned businesses. Big corporate companies could afford it because they are cash crop schemes. But when the margins on a private small scale, it's insane. What that'd do to companies. Thanks for the entertainment and education for the podcast. I listen every week while I'm working, and it definitely stimulates the mind while doing mindless work. Keep it up. Well, good. I'm really glad to hear that.
The interesting thing about that is, in regards to the company increase and like paying more to keep the employees, it depends what the cost of training new employees would be if those employees were to leave.
Sure, that's a fact. Yes, that's definitely a factor. Right.
So there's a few things that go into it. Like I tried to do a little research, and like in Seattle, where they did raise it to 15.
Right.
In some cases, it's working out, but in some others, it's not, as with anything. The restaurant industry apparently is a lot of places are closing up now because they can't afford to pay the workers so much. Because as with everything, there's like you would divide up what you would make, 30% for food, 30% for labor, and so you have it. But in some cases, it's increasing what the cost of labor is too much, and they can't afford it.
Right.
So they're closing down.
Yeah, and again, well, great. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, and again, we talk about this a lot. Part of the equation is if people were getting some kind of benefit in terms of health insurance or, you know, other kinds of
compensation,
then you would the burden would not have to necessarily be on the business
yes.
to have to pick up the slack, which is the whole problem. That is why the minimum wage is well, first of all, the minimum wage has not been tied to inflation all along. So people have been losing out on wages that rightfully they probably should have been getting this whole time. So mm-hmm. the jump from wherever the minimum wage is to $15 seems huge at this point. But if it had been done gradually over time, it's like, of course, that's how it would be. I also think that there's something to be said about then if the minimum wage gets raised, I think it's reasonable to assume that bigger businesses or whatever are going to have to raise their wages also. You know, it's because we've gotten into a situation with the global economy and things like this. And of course, it doesn't affect small business exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten into a point where like higher end jobs, salaries have increased or kind of stayed at a livable wage. And people on the lower end of the spectrum that are working maybe minimum wage jobs or whatever, those haven't increased at all and actually have gone down over time in some cases because labor is cheaper in other parts of the world. So, you know, look, I mean, it's not an ideal situation. I think people, again, the base for me is no matter what, and I'm acknowledging you're absolutely right, there's going to be, you know, some kind of trade-offs. If you yes. raise the minimum wage, there's going to be problems. Definitely. The thing is, at the heart of it all, if you're going to work full-time, you should be able to live off that money. It shouldn't be that, because then the burden is going right back to government and taxes and all that stuff.
And providing for the individuals.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, you know, so if a business can't afford 7 employees, maybe they can only afford 5 employees. I know that sucks because then people are going to be unemployed. Potentially they have to look for another job. But had this been done all along, they would have never hired that sixth and seventh employee. Right. They would have known, well, we can only afford 5 because that is the amount of people that we can pay a living wage. You know what I mean? And again, I think small business does bear the brunt of a lot of this stuff, but it is incumbent on larger corporations. Certainly McDonald's, like McDonald's is a huge corporation. It's not a small business, but they still have an army of minimum wage employees.
Yes.
That's where the change has to come. And I think you'd probably see you could probably work it out where like privately owned like 8-person, 5-person, 3-person small businesses, they can maybe get some kind of voucher or whatever.
A subsidy maybe.
Yeah. Whereas McDonald's doesn't need that. McDonald's can just make $500 million less a year or whatever it's going to cost. You know what I mean?
That's
if they want to be this massive corporation, then do the work of the massive corporation and don't then throw the burden back onto government, you know?
Nice.
All right. You got anything else to say about that?
No.
All right. Thank you everybody for the emails. Thank you for the sticker requests. If you guys want stickers, just email us mandatorysamson@gmail.com. I only have like 888 left, so
you have a few.
Act quickly. Yeah. No, just let me, you know, give me your address and I'll send you some stuff. Okay. You ready to get into this, Joey?
Yes.
This is something that I wanted to bring up. We don't have to get into like the specific details of it too much, but this is just something that I wanted to bring up to point out something that I think is typically a conservative point of view about the free market and like how we should just let the free market do its thing
and be free.
It'll work everything out because the more there's a free market, there's more competition and there's more choice and things like that. This flies directly in the face of that. And this is always something that I think is a long game thought to have. And I think it's just worth putting out there. So Dow Chemical and DuPont are talking about merging.
Okay.
The two chemical giants are rumored to be in deep merger talks, which could result in a $120 billion super corporation that could then break up into different businesses owned by this massive corporation.
You think they would break it up into small businesses?
Well, that's what they're talking about, because it would probably just be unmanageable as far as being able to manage all of the, because each of them have a ton of subsidiary companies that are that kind of operate themselves,
okay,
but are under the larger umbrella of Dow Chemical or DuPont, things like that.
Gotcha.
But still, nonetheless, they're owned by those companies. So even though they might be called Joey Noe Chemical Company, Joey Noe Chemical Company is a subsidiary of Dow Chemical. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're still working under the same, whatever, same umbrella. This is the inevitable. This is what I wrote to myself. The reason I bring this up is this is the inevitable result of free market capitalism. No choice. The argument is always if you let business kind of go unregulated, let the market figure things out, eventually that's going to help consumers because of the healthy competition, products will get better, and people will have more options and the ability to get better products. The problem becomes once these corporations start getting so big that they either swallow up the little ones or join forces, mm-hmm, you're left with no choice. Eventually, yes, you're talking about a situation, you know, with chemical companies where you're only going to be able to get from Monsanto or whatever this Dow DuPont merger is going to be called. Same thing in like cable.
Yes.
And stuff like that. Verizon, all these media companies. There's six now or there's four now. Eventually, Pepsi is going to own Coke or Coke is going to own Pepsi and you're going to be able to buy soda from the soda company. You know what I mean? That is the kind of irrational thing I think that people assume about the free market, that that's not going to happen eventually, long term.
Yeah, eventually it comes to be like a utility where there's only one provider of, sure, such thing, which is never a good thing. Mm. Or it can be a good thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
if
never.
It's regulated.
Right.
But you can't have that much regulation in the free market.
Right. Well, yeah, and then I mean essentially then it's too late. Like I would hate it if Time Warner Cable owned everything because they're terrible. I hate them. I like, yes, Verizon, but I also don't think the Verizon should own everything either. It's the same idea with the banks when Bernie Sanders is talking about breaking up the big banks. Yeah, because they become this bohemian. I mean, obviously there's some differences there because they're directly tied to, you know, the economy of the United States, mm-hmm, and they can ruin the country. But once they get to a point where they're eating up all the smaller companies or slightly smaller companies that are just these behemoths, what are you supposed to do about it then? It's very, very difficult to put regulation on them. And even if you can, what option do you have? You can either, it's either be in the system or be out of the system. There's no smaller alternative. Like this, we're talking about small businesses. There's going to be no such thing as a small business chemical company. You know what I mean?
Or you just prevent them from merging.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, if you read into it, there are things in place that should logically probably keep this from happening, but it won't keep it from happening. You know, it's going to require several countries to okay this. They'll get the okay. You know, yeah, what I mean? Because they have the money, they have the influence to be able to do this.
They know somebody who can pass it along.
Yeah. It's just interesting. You understand what I'm saying. It's just interesting, yes, from that point of view. Anecdotally, I went to, when I was in Disney a couple of years ago, I went to Florida. We went to Celebration Disney, mm-hmm, which is the town in Florida that Disney owns. Yeah, that's right. Disney owns
a town.
Yeah, if you want to be creeped out, go look up Celebration Disney. Pretty much you go there and it looks like a classic white picket fence movie set that you go into. And what's even crazier, but it's really beautiful, mm-hmm, parts of it, obviously, because it's owned by Disney. But you go to the town area and you're not going to see brands, really. You'll see maybe a Starbucks or whatever. But you go to the movie theater and it's not like an AMC or whatever it is. It's like the movie theater because Disney owns the town.
Yeah.
So they have no reason
to put Disney in it.
Yeah. To put Disney in it, to have any kind of advertising. That to me is like what would happen with something like this. Cause instead of it calling it Dow Chemical or whatever, it's just like the chemical company. Right. The cable company.
Do you think that Disney Town is going to update for Star Wars?
No, it's not. It's not an amusement park. People live there.
Yeah, I know, but still, I think it'd be pretty cool.
I mean, I would consider moving there probably if they were just going to like theme it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, what's really interesting that it has like Disney, like Celebration University, and like all this. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting. You guys should go check it out. But that's just what that reminded me of. Okay, ready to move on from that?
Yes.
You understand what, yes, I'm saying with that? You think that was worth bringing up?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your support. I love you.
Because and not only that, but you can see in other fields where either companies are merging with other companies or they're creating a smaller workforce. A lot of companies are doing the cutbacks.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, well, I mean, there's going to be cuts for sure when these companies merge, but they're also then going to swallow up smaller groups that can then do the work for always about trying to find the cheapest way to do something because you make more money.
And one might even argue, if you only have that one chemical company, how would individuals get enough capital to even open up a new small business to compete with it?
Yeah, 100%. It becomes it becomes extremely monopolistic. Great point. And on top of that, if we're putting all the if all the resources for, and obviously this isn't the case immediately, but maybe down the road that's the case, if all the resources in the chemical industry are pretty much going to one business, the odds of somebody creating some kind of alternative product is slim. You have to rely on that one business, which is then again why they don't get regulated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Front National and France regional elections. Far right. This is now the reason I bring this up is because this is obviously a reaction to the Paris terrorist attacks, which we said there's going to be dominoes falling because of this that are going. The attack is bad. The deaths are bad. The response is going to be what
just
really,
as bad.
Well, it could be worse, but it determines that is going to determine how bad the attack was. Far right party headed by Marine Le Pen won 28% of the nationwide vote while taking the top spot in 6 out of 13 mainland French regions. The final vote takes place on December 13th, and the 28% that the Front National got is the highest ever poll score they've ever gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Front National is anti-immigration, anti-European, meaning, you know, they want to kind of be isolationist, and hardline on Islam, security, and national identity. Sound like Donald Trump, anyone?
It does. It sounds quietly together. You think they're in cahoots?
No, I don't think they're in cahoots. I wrote something, if you'll indulge me. I was on the bus the other day, and I was thinking about this because I saw this article, and then I just wrote like a quick thing about it. This is my thought about it, essentially. Now, I want to say, again, this is a tangible first real reaction, other than like bombing and things like that, politically and in society, to the attacks. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, December 13th, we'll keep our eye on it, but it's a tangible thing. These are my thoughts on it. Liberalism is always tenuous. Right-wing, fear-driven ideology are the default, in my opinion, meaning in general society, the way that like kind of governments work. I think, right, like I always say, we're a conservative kind of like right-wing nation, right-leaning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's the default ideology. You're always fighting against reverting back to the right. People seem only willing to entertain equality and social welfare as long as they're not scared. And as soon as they are scared, authoritarian, overbearing ideas roar back. That's why you need to take full advantage of peaceful or less fearful times. Bad ideas prosper in times of fear, like we're always talking about. Disaster capitalism,
yes.
Capitalizing on a tragedy, all that stuff. And there are always going to be people who capitalize in those moments. Ironically, the only way to combat hateful ideas is with empathy. You can drop bombs and reject refugees and talk tough all you want, but the long game must be empathy and education and infrastructure. If people are comfortable and they have a road to drive on that gets them to the school for their kids and they can drink water when they're home and take a shower and do all that stuff, they're way less likely to want to go shoot up the Bataclan in Paris. That's just a reality, and we can pretend it's not, but it is. The problem is, and this is why terrorism is such a big issue, aside from the obvious death toll, fear derails the long play that we desperately need to win an ideological battle. That's what we're in. We're not in an actual ground war. There are places where that is the case, but the United States is not actually.
And neither even though, is France.
And neither is France. Just because they got attacked by a handful of lunatics, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are in a war. No, you're not. You're in an ideological battle. And that is only going to be won over the course of time and not with fear logic. It's going to be won with empathy. Being able to, obviously you don't go, oh, I feel terrible for those terrorists that attacked us. No, they're bad people. That something went wrong there and they're a problem. However, you have to be able to separate from that emotion and go, why did they do it? Is it because they just hate France? No, there's obviously a strategy that we talked about with ISIS,
yes,
where they're trying to separate the West from Muslims around the world to try to like create a state. That's why they're called Islamic State. And there's a whole bunch of other factors. The fact that people feel isolated and whatever. It's all about taking a step back and realizing what can we do to prevent this? It doesn't matter if we're going to yell, we're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. We're going to do all this. Great.
It doesn't do anything.
No, you're not going to. First of all, how are you actually going to do it? That's my. What do you think about that? You got any thoughts about the? First of all, is far right or right wing kind of the norm? I think, and you're kind of always fighting against that.
I think the norm for the most part today would be more moderate than anything, unless if you do have an attack such as this, then after the attack comes, then everyone leans extremely to the right to prevent it from happening again.
But that's what,
and then when everyone prevents it from happening again, that's when you start singling out groups, and or you try to put in surveillance,
right,
or try to figure out a way to prevent this from happening, in which in many cases, whatever you do come up with wouldn't have prevented it to begin with.
Totally, and I have a little bit about the surveillance bit later when we do the 2016 update. That's my point. Surveillance state, kind of trying to target people based on, excuse me, whatever profile. Those are right, to the right ideas. Yes. I'm not saying necessarily conservative or whatever, but those are to the right ideas. Fascism, authoritarianism. I can't say that word, apparently. But I think you're right. This is the thing. Like, you're saying people tend to be moderate. I would say probably slightly to the right, not to the left. When something happens, that's my point. When fear gets entered into the equation, when the idea of danger gets into the equation, they get pulled all the way to the right, and then they never quite snaps back
not
to the left.
While.
Because to get to the left, you need to have a period of like relative peace. People have to feel pretty comfortable in their lives. Yes. There's not a lot of unemployment. And then they'll go, okay, what can we do to like make things better? But as soon as you drop any kind of problem into the equation, it's like, oh, forget it. It was probably that hippie logic that we were using. But it's like, no, if you just allow it to happen, if you just swing to the left for a while, see where it goes.
Yep.
Because you look at like the 60s and whatever, that was like one of the most powerful times of change in this country, when you had people saying, no, not guns, let's have flowers. Let's try to use psychedelic drugs to expand our mind and understand our place in the universe. That stuff is all a reaction to like far right. And then when bad things happen, people are like, you see, it's the fucking acid droppers and whatever. Like, it's never, people are never really default. Society in general is never really defaulting to the left. It defaults to the right, and you're constantly fighting the tide of it pushing to the right, in my opinion. So that's just my thoughts about it.
So how would you prevent that?
I don't necessarily know if you prevent it. I think the longer you can go in times of peace, in times of more freedom, I think, like in the purest sense of the phrase, like where you're not surveilling people and like paying attention, I think the longer you can do that and the more people that are have a better quality of life, I think the more likely you are to get people to pay attention to more empathetic, altruistic kind of
ideas,
worldly thinking. When you get a terrorist attack or any kind of like bad thing, you assume that it happened because you were being too relaxed, but that's not necessarily the case. It happens because there are going to be bad people out in the world, and you have to understand that sometimes there's nothing you can do about that. Also, you have to understand that because of some of the shit you're doing, bombing them, invading their countries,
it creates an atmosphere for them to grow.
Exactly. And that, again, is a right-wing idea, to be overbearing kind of authoritative figures where we're going to be like, no, you do it our way. Just because you're trying to push democracy on somebody, which is a noble concept, democracy, mm-hmm, you're still pushing it on them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So if they don't want that to be the way that they govern themselves, so then they're going to rebel against that. There is even the idea, to me, I've had this thought of, like, if we lived in utopia, there's going to be people that want to rebel against perfection. You know what I mean? The tyranny of beauty. You mm-hmm know what I mean? It's like there's going to be people that are going to rebel.
There's
going to
be a handful who can't stand the rose.
Right. So you're always going to have that no matter what the situation is. But I think the better off people are, the less likely it is that you're going to have people that are going to, you know, want to lash out and mm-hmm whatever. Okay. Anyway, that's just my piece. I wanted to put that out there. It was just a thought I had this week. San Bernardino update, quick. Then we're going to get into the ISIS stuff. 4 days ago, ISIS announced on their official radio station that the California shooters were, quote, supporters of theirs, but they did not take responsibility for the attack. All right?
Okay.
Which is critical to this whole thing. Oh, Shelby, did you put a mark back there? Okay. Shooters were dating online. This is what's in. Oh, and I'm not saying their names again.
Yeah, okay.
We're choosing not to do that. Shooters were dating online and were chatting about jihad and martyrdom as early as 2013, according to FBI Director James Comey. So these people have kind of had this in their mind. It wasn't something that recently just made them snap.
And they were using keywords, I'm assuming.
What do you mean?
Well, what in these, if they're using what, online communications?
No, I mean, they might have used, I mean, they could have just been in like forums. A lot of this shit takes place in like, you know, fundamentalist forums and different things like that. So maybe they were just, or they could have been on OKQ, who knows? They could have been on some kind of dating app and they were just talking to each other. I got a quote from Loretta Lynch. She says, at this point in time, we do not have an indication that these two people were part of a larger cell. We do not have an indication that they were planning specific things beyond this attack, although that information is still evolving. Now, what did we talk about last week? And we usually talk about with this type of stuff. We talked about it with Paris. Stop saying ISIS did it. No, it's two people, it turns out, in this case, mm-hmm. that ISIS is saying, yeah, they supported us, which could have been they sent the money or whatever. ISIS didn't claim responsibility for this attack.
No.
These are two people. I mean, obviously, there's two of them, but I'm saying they're a lone wolf-style attack. And stop trying to make it a bigger cause than it is. It could be scary that it's these two people, because how are you really going to catch them, you know, yes. if they're just these randos by themselves? But my point is, how random is this really? It feels like there's more to it. And to me, it seems like it could have been workplace tension, which I think is something that I said last week. This is like workplace violence. I want to read this. Now, before we get into any of it, this guy, Nicholas Thalassinos, okay? He's one of the victims.
Yes.
I'm sorry to his family that he's dead. I'm sorry that he's dead. It should not have happened. And I'm not saying any of this to be like, see, he deserved it. That's not why I'm bringing it up. The reason why I'm going to bring up any of what I'm about to say is because I think it speaks to the idea, and it should, if not comforting, it should at least give you some kind of idea that, like, not all of this is totally random, okay?
Cause and effect.
Yeah, that there can be a cause and effect type of thing. Not that somebody deserves it, but that you can go, well, to me, that makes sense. If you're some kind of radical on one side, you might be interested in this person as a target. That's the only reason I'm saying it. This Nicholas Thalassinos is one of the victims. He argued at work with the male shooter. Nicholas is a Messianic Jew, which is interesting because it combines Judaism and Christianity and a belief in Jesus as the Messiah.
Okay.
Now, if you're a radical Islamic terrorist, like we've been talking about,
that's everything you stand against.
Correct. It is literally combining the two other things you hate most, right? Or dislike or disagree with, and throwing them together. All right.
It's a hate sandwich.
It's a hate sandwich. Jewish evangelical Christian is essentially what I'm calling it. All right. I have a quote from this guy's wife, because this is not something that I'm just making up. This Nicholas's wife, Jennifer, has to say her husband was, quote, anti-Muslim and, quote, probably had plenty to say to the male shooter. Quote, I'm sure everybody has seen his Facebook page. He's very outspoken about Islamic terrorism and how he feels about politics and the state of the country. Thalassinos often posted impassioned comments on a range of topics, including politics and religion. He criticized everyone from Barack Obama to, quote, Iranian fascists, lamented the lack of biblical teachings in schools, and declared global warming a farce. Now, what do you think? You think a guy like that, and, you know, God rest him, I'm sorry that he's dead, I'm not saying anything to that extent, but do you think a person that is in that mold, as described by his wife, might be somebody that would get under the skin of somebody who's kind of a radical Muslim, who is thinking about potentially killing people? Like, is it totally random? Or is that maybe, like, I fucking hate that guy Nicholas, and I, you know what? If we're going to do this, he's on my list. I'm not saying it's good, I'm just saying, does that seem possible to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
But the question becomes, did the couple have several places that they wanted to hit? Were there other influences? One thing I don't understand is how the mother lived upstairs and the couple was able to stockpile 12 bombs and 45,000 rounds of ammunition without her knowing.
You never know what people... I mean, I think that's possible. That's always something that people say, like, well, weren't... Wasn't she just like paying attention? You understand that people that do bad things and like tend to like go down bad paths probably don't have the type of love and support that you're assuming they would have. Like, wouldn't the mom, when she was hugging them goodnight and like cooking them dinner, have noticed the bomb? No, maybe she wasn't involved in their life.
45,000 rounds of ammunition.
How much? Okay, so
I have no idea what that would even look like.
Two boxes, you put it in the garage. Even if it, right? I mean, how many? I don't know. But like, I imagine that you, it was, I thought it was like 5,000 bullets. I don't think it was 45,000.
4,500.
Yeah. Okay. 4,500. Yeah. It's a box. You keep a box in the closet. You can mark it Christmas.
That's got to be a big box.
I know. I doubt the radical like Islamic guys is marking a box Christmas bulbs, but you know what I mean? It's like, you can just put it in the closet and like call it whatever you want. Again, it's, you know, yeah, I find it believable. I find it believable that they don't know. People believed Jerry Sandusky's wife that she had no idea what was going on. Right? He's down in the basement boning kids. She doesn't know. She's upstairs. What is she doing? She should have probably noticed. It's possible. If it's possible,
wow,
in some
that is a leap from that one end of the spectrum to the other.
No, it's not. It's did people notice? Should people have noticed?
Okay.
Maybe, but I think it's also possible that they didn't. I want to just wrap up with this part. There was how they were able to get the guns, because this is always what we're talking about, yes. Gun reform, all this stuff. There's something called the bullet button loophole. Quote, an exception known as the bullet button loophole allows rifles that would ordinarily be prohibited to be manufactured and sold if they have the button release feature, since their magazines are then considered fixed rather than detachable. The loophole has spawned a cottage industry for gun makers in California, some of whom specialize in specially manufacturing assault-style rifles to comply with state law. The shooters tampered with their rifles to make them automatic, which they failed at, but they were trying to do it, and they were able to carry 30-round magazines. So it's stuff like that. And who do you think, what group is lobbying Congress to get these types of loopholes put in place?
I'm going to go with the NRA.
I think you're probably right about that.
Okay.
And the way that they're able to do that is they pay off politicians who aren't paying attention and think it's not a problem. That is not, you know, your right to carry bare arms. That's your right to carry a loophole behind a law that's trying to prevent you from having something that could go and create some kind of atrocity. We can balance that out. We can say, no, not at all. You can't do this at all. Close that loophole. That's not allowed. There's no political will to do that.
So the thinking behind that is you have the gun and you put the button on it so it can only shoot 30 bullets. But if you play with the button, you can just reload any 30 magazine clip into it.
Right.
That seems like a very stupid move.
Well, it's not stupid if you're a weapons manufacturer and you know that you can sell more of those, because it's like it's
yeah,
legal.
Yeah, we got the button.
It's legal, but it's actually illegal. You know, it's like owning a fucking tiger. Like, yeah, you shouldn't, but yeah, get that tiger.
You're going to.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what do you need that for? And most people that are going to get it are probably not going to be a problem with it, but there are people that are like, oh, we could completely exploit this dumb loophole.
What the hell would you even do with it?
For gun fetishists, you know?
What the hell? Like I doubt you could even go hunting with it, because you probably blow the animal to hell.
Of course, there's people that just, yeah, but there's people that don't care about that, A, or B, people that are not hunting and they just like to go out in the yard and shoot trees and shit. You know, it's like,
you're
or
doing
just
quite
have
some
it.
Damage to the tree.
Great point.
Yeah.
You're right. Save the forest. All right. Ready to move on to this ISIS propaganda thing? Because we do, I feel like we are in a little bit of a rush, and I apologize to the Samsonites if you feel that too. Take a breath, but we are definitely in a rush. ISIS propaganda. U.S. intelligence official, who's like an ISIS media expert, he says the group is very image conscious, much like a corporation. Its approach to building its brand is so disciplined, quote, that it's very much like saying this is Coca-Cola or this is Nike. Very interesting stuff. So I read a Washington Post article on November 20th called, if you guys want to read it, because I just kind of like synopsize it and we can make a couple of points about it. It's called Inside the Surreal World of the Islamic State's Propaganda Machine. All right. Former ISIS camera guys who are now in prison after they fled the Islamic State because it's, you know, terrible, were interviewed for this article. And these are the types of things that they had to say. Camera crews are sent out every day all across Iraq and Syria. Cameras, computers, and more arrive from Turkey regularly. Senior media operatives are trained as, quote, emirs, as equal rank to the military leaders of ISIS, which you would think, if you're this like barbaric group that wants to go conquer lands, you'd think that the military people would be the most important people you're dealing with.
But they're not.
They're important, but they're also putting camera people and like media people on the same level, which again is all, keep all of this in mind when you hear, oh, ISIS is doing this. Is ISIS really good at propaganda? Yes, it turns out they are. They're like Nike and Coca-Cola with how good they are at their advertising. That's legit. Hundreds of videographers and producers and editors. Most people attached to this group, ISIS, exist online, which again is how you end up getting these lone wolf style things in Paris and San Bernardino. ISIS is not really doing that anything with them.
No, they're just set up and they're people saying, like, go out of the way to find them.
Yeah, good job. We'll tweet you. Great. That's not them supporting those people, you know? Listen to this. Programs for new media members last months and teaches them how to, quote, film, mix, and get the right voice and tone for the ISIS propaganda
videos. That's very important.
It's extremely important, and it's very, again, I think we talked about this right when this all started, or, you know, when we started having ISIS kind of like in the mind. They're like the Nazis. I mean, they're very, that the Nazis were great at image,
yes,
and putting out propaganda and all this stuff.
And the symbols.
Symbols, yeah, absolutely. This is very, it's similar, obviously they don't have the same scale, but they're trying to do that and they're effective at it. Videographers, this is very telling. Keep it in mind. Keep it in mind on Christmas Eve when you're having conversations about terrorism. Videographers in ISIS make $700 a month, which is seven times more than the soldiers get paid. Plus, they get paid food, clothes, equipment, a truck so they can drive around, and they're excused from Islamic State taxes.
That's what I call winning.
Absolutely, it just makes sense to get involved with it. And that's the other aspect of it, where we go, they're all barbarians. Well, some of them are barbarians, definitely.
But some of them are maybe trying to feed their families.
Ding, hit the nail on the head, and that's what I'm talking about. You could win this war a lot easier, I think, in the long term, by just giving people other options. Don't let ISIS be the only option that these people have, because what do you want them to do? Right?
Yeah.
ISIS can get hundreds and hundreds of videographers, go out, film, edit, do all this stuff. At least one American is part of the foreigner-dominated media division, which is interesting that the article points out that's a lot of foreigners, not necessarily people from Iraq and Syria.
Oh, okay.
There is at least one American, and the American is the one that does the editing, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of quotes from the article that we'll get to in a second. There's also something really interesting here. They show these videos. They set up video screens in different little cities where obviously they don't have TV and stuff like that. So a lot of what they're getting is ISIS propaganda videos. That's like, grab the popcorn, let's go watch the ISIS video. Kids watch the videos. They don't look away from the violence, the article says, because to them it's just on a TV and that's like what's normal. And they started to dress like Jihadi John. They'd wear like the black, you know, face mask and like the belt.
Yeah, because kids imitate.
Of course.
Highest form of flattery.
Absolutely. The same way kids want to wear Ninja Turtle, you know, PJs. These kids are wearing Jihadi John outfits because that's like the person that... And that's what I'm talking about. That's the battle that we need to be fighting. Don't let people... children that don't have a lot see this stuff and think like, that's what I need to be like. We need to be countering this in a much smarter way. Education, allowing them to even have access to the internet and different things that can just broaden their perspective just a little bit. That's what we should be doing, and that's what we've been talking about all along. I think we're right about that, and this type of stuff really backs up what I'm saying. This is a quote from the article, and then we can move on to the 2016 update. In a comprehensive this is from the article. In a comprehensive examination of the terrorist group's media releases in the summer, Charlie Winter, until recently an analyst at the Quilliam Group in the United Kingdom, identified 1,146 distinct pieces of propaganda, including photos, videos, and audio releases during a single month-long stretch.
That's busy.
Almost 1,200 different things that they put out. Shelby only gets out like one or two pieces here at Stand Up New York Labs. I mean, granted, he's working by, you know, mostly by himself on that stuff, but this is amazing. Almost 1,200. It's kind of impressive, right, Shelby?
They're making me look like shit right now.
Absolutely. You should be embarrassed. I feel for you. Winter counted as many as 36 separate media offices that answer to the different media offices that answer to the Islamic State's headquarters in Raqqa, including affiliates in Libya, Afghanistan, and West Africa, and saw evidence of extraordinary coordination across the network. At one point during his study on July 19th, he noticed that every affiliate, mm-hmm. think about that, okay? These are people that we're assuming that they're spending most of their time blowing shit up or cutting heads off or siphoning oil or doing whatever, doing planning something. Attacks. This is what they're doing. Really, this is what they're doing. Because they know that if they put out enough Coca-Cola commercials, people are going to start drinking Coca-Cola. That's just how it works. They're learning from us.
Yes.
They've learned from a corporate-dominated advertising culture in the United States. Bad news, guys. The only thing that we exported from the West was advertising, not democracy. Okay, yes. That's the big whoops. That's the big problem. They realized that simultaneously, all of them shifted to a new logo with the same stylized Arabic script. The icon appeared in the same location on every image and in the initial frame of every video release, like that.
Yes,
they designed it and they were like, "And go with that new logo." Amazing.
It's a calling card. It's marketing. It's perfect.
It's very smart. Everything we put out is going to have the stamp on it, so you know when you
see
who
it is.
Right. And the article also points out that this is very conscious, obviously, but they're doing it to differentiate themselves between groups like Al-Qaeda and other kind of terrorist groups that have been known to have like those like cave looking videos with like one steady shot. No, they want this shit to be very theatrical and very fun for people that don't have any other entertainment to watch and kind of absorb. Yes. And it becomes a thing,
and you become immersed by the
immersed
the, yes, yeah. Immersed in the video. And then when you have lone wolves out there or right. couples, they go out and do certain things and you automatically get to throw your support behind them.
Absolutely. All you have to do is be like, yep.
They watch the videos.
Yeah, or whatever. You don't have to say anything. You just go, yeah, they supported us, sure. Mm-hmm. Or you take credit for it if you want to. There was clearly a communique issued, Winter said in an interview. The Islamic State is constantly striving to be formalized, as bureaucratic seeming as possible, to keep up the appearance of being a state. Right. Keep up the yes. appearance of being a state. The article finishes with like, guys leave because they get disillusioned. They see these videos. It looks beautiful. It looks like there's a lot going on. There's plentiful food and whatever.
But
and
it's then, not really.
Yeah,
like
and then
that.
The reality turns out to be something else. Let me just say this. I wasn't planning on getting into like this whole part of it, but what's really fascinating is like the beheading videos. People go, they look fake. You know, there was some talk in some of them where it's like, how come they cut here and did this? They have 15 people filming when that stuff goes down. The executioner, like say you have Jihadi John in the video, he's not running the show there. That's not, no. That is all carefully orchestrated. There's a guy there, a director, who has cue cards, and he's saying, no, 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 pull the knife up a little higher, do this. They're doing multiple takes of this shit.
At the same time.
Which is crazy, but that's why some of the videos look like they're fake or there was a cut here, because there was a cut there. They were like, no, we don't like that shot. We like
no, we're going to do it again.
Yeah, they are actually cutting people's heads off. But they're doing it in the absolute most theatrical way possible.
Yes, they have to make sure it's in the frame.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're making it kind of a joke, but right. But they actually, that is part of the article. I urge you guys to check out the article. Again, it's Inside the Surreal World of the Islamic State's Propaganda Machine. Very interesting. I mean, really interesting stuff. Final thoughts on that, Joey?
It's a huge issue.
How does it relate to what we are always talking about with the response to this stuff? Like, if you hear that and you understand that, like, they're crafting an image. How do you relate that to dropping bombs on them and different types of responses?
Well, you can't. That's the problem.
Right.
You can't solve this issue by well, in some cases you can, because they just released that they got somebody else, the head finance guy, I believe.
Sure, and that's one guy, right?
Yes.
The problem is, while that might affect their day-to-day operations in terms of oil or another actual attack, the problem is you're not impeding their ability to put out these videos and get their message out. The message is the fucking problem. Yeah, of course, if they show up in your town and kill 10 people, that's a problem. And that's a problem that, you know, should be dealt with and we should be paying attention to. However, the bigger problem is that they're in your town every day with Twitter videos and shit that they're posting in forums. Mm-hmm. That's the fucking problem. You have to stop the ideology from growing. Not from more people necessarily, because you'll stop people from joining if you can stop the propaganda from being
coming out. Yes.
Right. And make it so the message that these people are getting doesn't resonate because they were able to read and learn. And
so here's a question for you. Do you think if you had anti-videos that would help, or you think that's going to make it worse because it causes attention?
Like counter-propaganda.
Yes, counter-propaganda.
I think there's something to that, maybe. I mean, this we joked, we laughed at like Cory Booker and whatever, and they were like, we need more memes to go against
ISIS. But they're making memes and it's succeeding.
Right. Maybe to a small extent. I think the bigger picture is, it's not, because again, like a lot of these guys in the article are talking about, they become disillusioned. They go there, they see what's actually happening. They're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. The reality is always going to trump propaganda eventually. You understand what I'm saying? Like the Wizard of Oz, like he's so wonderful, the great and powerful Oz. And they're like, oh no, but it's just like a little guy behind the curtain. The thing is, if you can get people covertly or start showing tangible things in places where the ISIS has a stronghold, or people where they might be vulnerable to being manipulated,
where things don't add up and they get up.
Let's make physical infrastructure changes there. It's going, instead of spending millions of dollars on bombs, build a library. You know what I mean? Like puts, and obviously, of course, this should all be being done in the United States as well for people here. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, put it in a bubble. Like, you need to actually make stuff happen there, because then when they're being told, when kids are dressed like Jihadi John and they're being told like the West is the worst and the Americans are blah blah blah, they can go to their actual experience and be like, yeah, but that one time they came and like put a well in my town, you know what I mean, or whatever it is. Like, then you could, that's how you counter propaganda. Sure, you can maybe do it with like a fucking American flag Vine video once in a while, but it's actual, no, he did something for me. That's the same argument I think with politics too. Hillary Clinton's going to be the president probably because she has a ton of money and she has the ability to put out a billion ads and things like that, but people like Bernie Sanders you know, and other people who have resonated over the course. Not Obama, to a certain extent, when he first started. The reason why he was able to resonate with people. Yes, because he actually did stuff for people. So there was a base of people that were out there that already knew who Barack Obama was. They go, no, he did this, this, and this. And they could point to that. And then as you get to the larger scale, there's still a tangible thing that he did.
Yeah, there's steps that he followed. There's progression.
Yeah, in real life, not just...
in a video.
Right, in a video. All right, so anyway, that's really interesting stuff. We got about 10, 15 minutes. So let's get to the 2016 presidential update. Hillary Clinton, I'm not going to get crazy into this, but I'm just going to point it out there. If you guys want to look into it, I'm just bringing it to your attention. You can read up on it. And if you have questions about it or something, email me or you have a comment. Hillary Clinton proposed an exit tax, quote, on corporations like Pfizer that move their headquarters overseas to avoid taxes. I love that. And
it's not going to stick.
No, I think it'll stick. Again, is Hillary Clinton the ideal person to be targeting Wall Street? No, because she's going to get a lot of money from Wall Street, and she's somewhat beholden to them.
See, because the exit tax, too, in a sense, says, you know what? We're going to let you do it anyway.
Yes.
But there's a slap on the wrist.
Well, yes, absolutely. It's the same idea as a carbon tax, where that's a thing that I think Democrats are on board with. Bernie Sanders put out a plan for a carbon tax. It's better than not having a carbon tax, but it's also just saying, like, look, if you're going to destroy the planet, you owe us money.
Keep it at this level.
Yeah, guess what? If the planet's destroyed, that money is it's paper. Use it to wipe your ass because it's not going to do anything. Otherwise, you're using poison sumac. Anyway, the exit tax idea is a good one, I think. But I'm much more hardline on stuff like that. If you want to operate in the United States but then have your mailing address in Ireland so you pay less taxes, you don't get to sell your products in the United States anymore. That's how I feel. I'm not an isolationist necessarily militarily, although I think obviously you got to be very careful about what you intervene in. I'm sort of an isolationist as far as corporations are concerned and business is concerned. Yeah, you can import stuff. That's fine.
But we're going to tax you.
Yeah, and if you want to be headquartered in the United States and reap the benefits of everything that goes on here and sell your products to people here, then pay the workers in the United States that money and sell your products here. Otherwise, fine. If you love Ireland so much, or you love Canada so Burger King buys Tim Hortons so they can pay less taxes, then go sell Burger King in Canada, but you're not coming back to the United States until you relocate all your shit here. That's how I feel. Hi, my name is Chris Flannery, and I'm running for president.
Chris, question for you.
Sure.
What happens if all the corporations leave?
Mm-hmm. That's always the argument. They're not going to do that. And guess what? Small business will flourish then. Then guess what? You're not going to have 1,000 Burger Kings. You'll have 10,000 Joey Noe burgers and Shelby's Shake Shack or whatever. You're going to have other shit pop up. That's the free market. If you get the giants out of the market, then you have give other people more opportunity. There's always going to be business. And I don't accept the fact that these people are just going to stop. Oh, really? They're going to stop selling their product? No. You pay the fucking taxes. And you live with the $1 billion you made, not the $1.7 billion you made. That's how I feel about it. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I feel about it. All right. Presidential candidates on both sides called for more and bulked up government surveillance programs post San Bernardino shooting.
Yeah, like that's going to help.
Hillary Clinton, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook should take down postings. She thinks that is where that should end up going. When they see like propaganda or anything, nope, take it down. Slippery slope, obviously. Bush, monitoring of people in the United States, he thinks is necessary. We know where they are. We need to pay attention. Okay, great. That's
but illegal. How many times have you heard of people being on the lists and still getting away with stuff?
How come the Republicans in Congress voted against the thing to allow people who are on a terrorist watch list to get guns? They did.
Yeah,
they
that makes no sense. If you're already on a watch list and you can't fly,
right?
You can't fly. You can't get on an airplane.
Yeah, but you.
So
need
how
a
can
gun.
You go buy a gun?
Well, you. Look, if you're on a watch list, you probably need protection. Marco Rubio, metadata collection restrictions are bad. He says everything that's happened since Snowden is Obama's fault, and that we're not being able to catch these people because we're not taking in enough metadata. Great. Kasich and Clinton both say that there should be a public-private encryption circumvention system where if the government needs to get some encrypted information from Google, they should just be able to go in and get it.
That's a slippery slope.
This is the same shit you heard after 9/11. It's the same shit. And this is what I'm talking about. Hillary Clinton's, according to people on the right, a fucking bleeding heart liberal. Is she, though? Because when stuff like this happens, she runs right to the right. We need more surveillance. We need less encryption. Companies should be beholden to the government's whim. Like, that's right-wing shit. That's fascist shit.
It would be interesting if Bernie or somebody went more to the left after this.
Well, I mean, Bernie is probably as far to the left as possible. Although, you know, only you never know. That's the thing. When you get into office and you have to actually do stuff, it all sounds good, but who knows? Donald Trump. Now, we're not going to get too crazy into this because I'm sick of hearing about him. He's a monster, right? He's a guy that's putting out these terrible ideas. He's not realistically going to be the president. It just doesn't work that way. But I think obviously it's been in the zeitgeist, and I think we have to talk a little bit about it. I'm going to play this Trump clip. It's 2 minutes and 9 seconds. This is pretty much what he's been talking about this week, and this is pretty much what the
hate speech.
Yeah, I mean, this is what people have been talking about. And then I have a Fox News clip, and then we can just wrap up. But this is Donald Trump talking about Muslims and different things.
Statement. Yeah! Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. We have no choice. We have no choice.
Yes, we have no choice.
Mr. Trump stated, without looking at the various polling data, it's obvious to anybody the hatred is beyond comprehension.
Meanwhile, by the way, you hear Trump's voice? Mm-hmm. This guy's been going hard lately. He's screaming a lot, doing a lot of shit.
To.
He's going to break
down.
He's
putting on a show.
Falling apart.
He's not going to break down. Portion.
Where the hatred comes from and why, we will have to determine. We're going to have to figure it out. We have to figure it out. We can't.
But tell us now. Stop saying we got to figure it out. What are you going to do? Say it now. What, are we just going to vote for you and be like, well, he's thinking about it.
Yes.
It's fucking crazy. It's crazy.
He gets 8 years to think about it.
Like this. It's going to get worse and worse. You're going to have more World Trade Centers. It's going to get worse and worse, folks.
Is it,
we
Donald?
Can be politically correct and we can be stupid, but it's going to get worse and worse. Folks, those days are over. Those days are over. We have to be tough. We have to be smart.
Oh, somebody in the background. That's right.
You know what?
You know that tough is not a policy, right?
I believe he blew out his voice on purpose for this.
Just to be a little more dramatic. Like, yes. I'm in the shit.
Yeah, he thought about
Listen,
it.
Listen, folks, the Muslims, they stole my vocal cords.
We have to be
with the Mexicans.
Yes, we have to look at mosques and we have to respect mosques. But yes, we have to look at mosques. We have no choice. We have to see what's happening. Because something is happening in there. Man, there's anger. There's anger.
Yeah, at people like you who get really mad about everything and just are a blowhard that just screams about immigration and religion. Like, you're part of the problem, buddy. Right? Like, but he doesn't get that. That's the thing. That's what I'm talking about.
He's immune.
Well, I mean, we'll see if he's immune. He's not going to... Okay.
And we have to know about it. We can't be these people that are sitting back like in the World Trade Center, like so many different things.
What is he talking? We have not been attacked since then.
I don't know. He just keeps on saying World Trade Center for a reason.
Yeah, 9/11, so many things. We need to look at it. Tough. That's his whole policy.
We can't be people that knew what was going on 2 weeks ago in California. Probably for months they knew what was going on, and they didn't want to tell anybody. We can't be that.
That's right.
We have to be strong.
Fucking
when
idiot.
We see violations, you have to report those violations and quickly.
See something, pause say it. Something just, is what Donald just, Trump is saying there. Gotcha.
That has been a motto for years.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know.
And you never hear about the cases where it actually worked.
Of course. Well, and here's the other thing. Trump is just... this is why it's working, because he's saying stuff that the average low information person has heard on the news in like snippets or whatever, and they,
oh, so he's just soundbiting.
He's soundbiting it back to them, and they're going, "That's true because I heard that once." Okay.
You don't worry about profiling. I promise I will defend you from profiling. I promise.
Yeah, that's great. That's the dangerous shit. Like, yeah, put that out there. Like, don't worry about it. If you shoot a Muslim, I'll as president, I'll pardon you. Like, what's he saying? Great.
Simply slope.
Listen, we got to hurry up here. I'm going to play this Fox News clip. This one drives me bananas, and then we'll wrap it up, okay. Right? Hold on, I got to get
to the
right
spot. Calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our nation's leaders can figure out what to do about the problem. And as they're squirming there trying to figure out how to respond, the more heat he takes from all sides, the more his fans are going to love him.
Well, some will, but some will also question, why don't we just fix the actual system in place? And why don't we have a leader in place that would actually make us feel safe about terror so we didn't have to go to the extremes and saying, you believe this? Well, you're not coming into our country. I think a lot of people believe this country is about more than that, and the terrorists want us to be not the way that we have been.
Elizabeth, that's a great point, because...
What point was that?
She wants to have a test? I'm confused on what she wants to do.
No, she's saying that because Obama doesn't make us feel safe, that's the only reason that ideas like Trump's have to be out there, because he's leaving us no other options than to start thinking about stuff like that. Like, that's not a great point. That's an imbecile's point. Again, it's very easy to go, we need to do more. What? What do you want to do, Elizabeth?
What is your plan?
Do you think, honestly, in your heart, that if Obama knew tomorrow he could kill ISIS by doing X, Y, and Z,
he wouldn't do
X, Y, and Z? There are people that think that, where they go, he's anti-American and he's not this and not that. Fuck off. That's not true. Con. If he could solve the greatest foreign policy problem, like other than Israel and Palestine, if he could eliminate ISIS right now, you don't think that would look good?
It would look incredible.
I think people saw the speech Sunday and they said, wait a second, who's got our back?
Obama's address on Sunday, which I watched, by the way.
Okay.
He spent most of the speech saying what we're not going to do to fight them and what we shouldn't when they're here. And we say, wait a second. They just killed 14 people. These two just killed 14 people and wounded 21. We didn't even have them on the radar, it doesn't seem. So we're wondering who's worrying about us.
Right.
And when Donald Trump comes out with something that seems extreme, then people...
No, it is extreme. It doesn't seem extreme. The other thing, it's like... whatever. They killed 14 people. Who are they? Again, this is what I'm talking about.
Well, also, the other issue with this is... Okay. The other issue with this is the fact that they're taking snippets from what Obama's talking about not doing, which is in the best public interest, and using it against them.
Yeah, and in large part, the reason why he can't do anything militarily, even if he wanted to, is because of the last Republican president who created two gigantic boondoggle invasions that is just not palatable for people to go in now with a large amount of troops to do any kind of thing over there.
They'll say, okay, at least I could say he's looking out for you.
Yeah, at least Trump is looking out for... I mean, yeah, he wants to shut down all the mosques, let no Muslims in, round people up, surveil them, do all this stuff. But listen, he's got our best interest in heart. Never mind the fact that Muslims are Americans and they are entitled to the same freedom that all of us are, regardless of whether people that also claim Islam are terrorists or not.
You can cherry pick.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want if you're not really running for president and you're just a simpleton. And then you're going to have these three couch potatoes sit there and just talk nonsense for an hour on national television.
He's going too far. Even Dick Cheney came out on the UU show yesterday and said, that's not our policy. No. I would add...
Okay, so wait, actually...
I'm pretty sure that their show is 3 hours long, isn't it?
I mean, they're just on constantly. I do have the Dick Cheney quote. Let's close with the Dick Cheney quote.
Okay.
When Dick Cheney thinks that your policies are crazy... Your policies are crazy because Dick Cheney, most of his foreign policy was like blowing up Muslims and torturing people in the Middle East. That was his foreign policy for 8 years. This is Cheney. He was on the UU show on Donald Trump's Muslim comments. He goes, I think this whole notion that somehow we need to say no more Muslims and just ban a whole religion goes against everything we stand for and believe in. I mean, religious freedom's been a very important part of our history. Yeah.
That sounded very, very liberal.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, compared to what Trump is saying, yeah, of course, everything sounds liberal. All right. Yeah. You know what? I had a Jon Stewart clip on The Daily Show. Him, he just came out very strongly and said that Mitch McConnell does not give a shit about anything but politics, which is like a pretty strong statement about the first responders to the 9/11 bill that they're trying to pass, which is a big thing of Jon Stewart's. And then I have the UFC 194 preview. We're not going to get to that. Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo. I think... It's possible McGregor wins. I think it's foolish to think that Aldo loses that fight, though. He's the undefeated only featherweight champion in the history of the United States, the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Undefeated for like 10 years. And I think if Conor McGregor wasn't as great as he is at talking and like being out there in the public eye, and make no mistake, he's looked great in all his fights. If he wasn't that type of talker, I think Aldo would be like a runaway favorite. But we'll see what happens. And also Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold. Heart of hearts, Weidman wins. I'm a big Luke Rockhold fan, and I think that he has the tools to beat Weidman. Whether he does remains to be seen. We'll see what happens. All right, Joey, next week is a GOP debate on Tuesday.
Okay.
So the next episode will largely be a recap of that debate, which should be a doozy because of all this stuff that's been going on this week. We'll see how they're going to choose to go after Trump. If they go after Trump, who else is going to say stuff crazy to try to sound tough? Should be an interesting one. And then, you know, maybe if we have a couple of stories here and there, we'll get to
it. The only one who outdoes Trump is Trump. Remember that.
Trump is going to Trump. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. We love you guys a lot. I love all the snaps and all the feedback and tweets and support and everything. It's really awesome. So we really appreciate it. We thank you. Shelby, thank you so much, sir, for producing the show. Guys, you can go to new thing here. You can go to Comedy Voices, comedyvoices.com, and you can find our recent episodes, any of the other shows that are on the network, you can listen to shows on there. So that's a cool place that you can go and check it out. You know, let me know how you like that if you go to check it out. The most recent show to upload a show, if that you understand what I'm saying? So like if we upload right now, we'll be the top podcast on the page. If Invasion of Privacy comes in or We Know Nothing, which is coming in next, if they upload a show, they'll be the top show on the page. So it just gives you an idea of what we have on the network. And, maybe you can check out some other stuff if you haven't heard it. Still go to soundcloud.com/mandatorySampson. You can subscribe, follow us on there, leave a comment on the track. I always like responding to those. youtube.com/mandatorySampson. You can watch this podcast stream live every Thursday, 4 p.m. There's a link on there. I think it's called Live Stream Link. Pretty easy. You can just watch it. And you can also watch full episode videos. I put them up pretty much the same night that we record, or at least the next day. Check it out. You can leave comments on there. Email us, mandatorySampson@gmail.com. Twitter, I'm @mansab. Joey is @joey from Jersey. Jersey, of course, is spelled with a Z. Snapchat, same thing, mansab, Joey from Jersey. And listen, I go on iTunes. I never ask you guys to do this. If you feel like it, it's the holiday season. Go on iTunes, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes if you like, and maybe leave a comment, leave a nice review if you enjoy the program. If you don't feel like it, don't worry about it, but that would be nice, right?
Yes.
A good little treat. All right. Once again, thank you guys for all the support. We really appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week.